Well, when you think of components for rods and for rod building, a name that comes out on top always is Fuji. And you think about the great products and how long they've been there, but you see that Fuji tag on things and all that kind of stuff, but you really don't ever really realize, I think most people don't, where they came from. And with me today is Don McPherson. And Don, you know, the whole story of Fuji, I mean, as a young man, I can remember buying a rod only because it had Fuji components. And you guys just still are out there building the best and with the most innovation. So it's got to be a neat thing for you.
Oh, it is. You're right. I don't think a lot of people really understand, you know, where the Fuji innovation came from. But 1960, I guess, Mr. Omura, who was the president of Fuji, registered for the first fishing guide in Japan, and then in 67 he came out with the first ceramic guide, which was made of aluminum oxide. That started setting the stage for, you know, rods to be look at the performance issue on the rods.
Well, back in 1960, you talk about that date, and what comes to mind for me in the story of Fuji is that the founder was a long casting competitor and was looking for ways to get an edge, basically like bass fishermen do.
That's true. He was the All Japan Sports Casting Champion 8 years in a row. So he had an interest in, obviously, the performance, but he was also an engineer. So he would come back after a lot of tests. They started running a high-speed video casting these rods to see what was inhibiting the performance in the distance, and came back after looking at the frames that it was being caused by line slap, and that was the major issue. So they started looking at ways to recreate the guide in design, and obviously a lot of other things, shape, height, and came out with a better system of casting. He actually would take a rod out to a couple of football size fields and cast this thing, and, you know, 300 yards. And as they filmed this thing, they really started to unravel the mysteries of a lot of the casting.
Well, you look now at the way things are going, and, you know, we have braids, and we have, you know, copolymers, and we have fluorocarbon, and we have everything else. But the innovation at Fuji continues to, you know, make ways into being able to use the proper guide with the proper rod, with the proper line, and you guys just stay on top of it all the time.
Well, they do. You know, as they develop the rings, it's always what's harder, what's lighter, anything to do with that guide. Obviously, they came up with the different rings, and the rings have different applications. If you were to, say, go offshore and be bill fishing, you'd obviously want SiC, silicon carbide, in the ring because that's the best for heat dissipation. As I said, they started out with the aluminum oxide ring in the beginning and then moved up to a substance called hardloy, and that was, you know, state-of-the-art for a while, and then they came out with SiC, and then moved on after the rod manufacturers in the United States were looking for a competitive edge, came up with a guide called Alkanite, which was made lighter and stronger. And so, you know, through innovation, they just continued to ask the questions, what if, and come up with the answers in design and manufacturing.
Well, you know, all of us, we kind of go out there, you remember the old steel guides, you know, and you could throw maybe a spark plug about 15 yards, and now you've come out with all these different alloys and different products that allow us to be able to use those tools better. But, you know, you look back, clear back in the rods, you talk about the guides, but the reel seats as well with that blank through handle and some of the things that have been innovations for Fuji.
Oh, sure. I mean, like I said, every aspect of the rod they've evaluated and realized that, you know, the blank wasn't the only measure of performance. And so, obviously, the better the components perform, the better the rod's going to perform. And this goes back to in the beginning when Mr. Omura was trying to market his product into the United States. He came up with a ceramic guide that was a little more expensive, but the American rod manufacturers at that time were very happy with stainless steel and weren't willing to pay the extra cost. So he met a guy by the name of Lou Childrey, who you might be familiar with.
You bet.
From down in the Foley area and part of the fishing legacy down here. And Lou said, if I can sell these to the rod manufacturers, may I have the exclusive franchise? And, of course, they said yes. Well, he met up with the same resistance, so he decided to build his own rod, and hence the Lou's Speed Stick was born, the first really black rod. I think they were coming out in colors back then. Garcia had a blue rod, and Fenwick had a yellow rod. So that was part of this whole legacy and the revolutionizing of performance and rod design and innovation.
Well, we're going to show our age here a little bit, Don, because, you know, that speed stick and a BB1N and a lot of the things, and with the Fuji guides on those rods and reels, they were really the first rate. When you went out and looked for first class, that's what you looked for.
That's exactly right. Lou was an innovator. He was not only a businessman, but his business was also his recreation and his passion. And through that, he asked, again, a lot of the questions and had the contacts to get the things built and designed to advance the performance of both the rod and the reel.
Well, I think it's kind of funny, you know, guys will come in and they'll say, boy, you know, I had a ceramic guide fall out of my rod tip, you know, and or, you know, one of the guides down farther on the rod. And typically it's usually a size 10 or maybe a stump that actually really caused it, isn't it?
That's probably so. But, you know, these things, as they continue to develop, you know, they found ways to make the guide, the ring itself sit within the frame better. They had shock rings, and then they had different ring designs to fit better into the frame itself. The Japanese manufacturing continues to be the best in the world, and they continue to move forward every time they want to look at, obviously, its weight and performance. Now they continue to stress that with frame designs, frame alloys, the different metallurgies, every aspect of the rod building they're looking at and testing and retesting.
Well, let's talk, if we can, let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about reel seats. And I think, you know, when people buy a rod, they really don't think about that much. But having that blank through the handle and having that feel that we're all looking for, you know, it's incorporated in the rod and the guides, but also that reel seat's very important.
Well, it is. It adds to the sensitivity. I mean, Fuji really gauges things by sensitivity, distance, you know, accuracy, balance, hooking power, all those things. And when you look at that reel seat and you have that exposed blank, it gives you a little better feel for what's going on out there at the end of your rod. And they also come up with different ways for your hand to fit on to the reel seat so that it's more comfortable. And obviously, the more comfort, the less fatigue you're going to have as you fish all day long. Sure, you tournament fishermen, they know that.
Well, you talked about a little bit about the Lou Childrey stuff and the fact that speed stick, well, that thing weighed about as much as a car.
It was heavy.
And, you know, now you guys have come out with the innovation that you bring from Fuji with reel seats and, you know, as you mentioned earlier, these alloys and everything else makes that rod almost just like an extension of your hand.
And when we're talking ounces, mere ounces that separate some of the weights of these rods and the guides and the reel seats, the components that go on there. And to me, that's almost unquestionable that something would be measured in just mere ounces.
Well, you know, I can tell you, looking back, you know, every rod I've ever picked up, I always look for Fuji, you know, guides. I always do. You know, you got to have that tag on there because that shows to me that comfort and the fact that I know they're going to perform the way I want them to. And, you know, as things develop and change and a lot of companies come out with new things, you guys are so far ahead from an innovation standpoint that sometimes when somebody comes out with something they say is new, you guys have probably already looked at it.
Well, that's true. That Fuji hang tag is the good housekeeping seal of approval when you're talking about rod components. And, of course, after 40 years of doing this, Fuji's tried most everything up until this point. They usually are the first to come out with, the innovation. And they started with the ceramic guide, and they were the first one-piece frame, first deep-press frame, as we talk about ways for that ring to stay better into the frame itself. They had the first aluminum oxide ring, hard alloy ring, silicon nitride ring, and a silicon carbide ring. And they also were first in a lot of the frame styles, the first N, LV, and SG leg configuration styles. As you said, they were the first ones to bring in a graphite nylon reel seat, a pipe seat, exposed blank reel seat also. So every time you turn around, they're looking at the rod to try to figure out how to make this thing perform better, how to make it lighter, how to make it last longer, stronger, and they continue to find ways.
Well, I think it's impressive. I think Fuji's been around. You know, you talk about 1960, that's a long, long time to be a leader in this sport at anything. I know now, why I bought those products. You know why you continue to buy Fuji products, because they are the best in the industry. And, you know, rod builders are starting to crop up again. You know, sort of like guys that build duck decoys.
Yes, sir.
There's so many independent rod builders. We'd always think of the big names, but in reality, there's a bunch of small rod builders that do a fine job.
There is, and it's you know, another extension of an ego. Somebody feels like they got a better way to fish, and they've figured out a few extra things while they were fishing, and they add those to the way they configure their rods, and also the art part that goes into being a custom builder. You know, you have the time to really add the look to the rod, and that's important to a lot of these guys. And it's a great pastime and recreation. People, I guess the more time you have, the more you can really look into that. But anybody can build a rod, and you can always test those theories that you've always thought while you were fishing.
Well, Don, I appreciate you being with us. This week is indeed theme week for Fuji. We want to make sure people know about what you're doing and where you're at. And you're going to have a little history lesson, folks. If you're tuning into Bass Fan this week, you're going to have a little history lesson on all these things we've talked about here on the radio program, but maybe a little bit more in-depth than Don and I covered. Don, thanks for being with us.
Hey, we appreciate the time, and we love your site.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.